Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Light the fuse and run now, brother, because you ain't got a lot of time. Don't you act surprised.
Check it out. Looks like everybody's watching the Credit Suisse, maybe the next bank to fail. You know, we had the SVB failure in California at the beginning of, well, end of last week. And if you think that's going to be the only domino to fall, you'd be wrong. See, what's interesting about all of this is I love watching the leftist politicians scramble to be like, We have to have a committee to investigate why this happened. Clearly, rampant capitalism and greed is the reason. SVB Bank spent hundreds of millions of dollars on woke, green, social justice fluff. Money it didn't have, apparently. But it also did everything right. SVB did everything our illustrious leftist authoritarian government officials wanted them to do. See, this is a thing that a lot of people don't realize. Hi, it's Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. I am Leland Conway. You can text the show directly, 577-39, 577-39. I'm actually genuinely concerned about this for a lot of reasons, mainly because I'm worried about the middle class and how they'll be affected by what's coming. And I hope it doesn't get as serious as I'm concerned it will get. But it's interesting because after 2008 in the financial crisis, one of the things that they engaged in was accelerated quantitative easing. So just to explain what this is, essentially it was the Fed printing money. I mean, I'm simplifying it, but it was the federal government printing money. It was the government borrowing money from banks at low interest rates and vice versa, and the banks could get a hold of capital at low interest rates, and the government was like, please borrow money at low interest rates. And so a lot of the banks did that. They were borrowing money at very low interest rates to invest, but they were also investing in high risk investments. And as long as the money was cheap for them to do their other investments with, then it was fine, right? Because they could borrow money at 0.5% and they could loan it out at 3%, and that would be your home loan, and they would make money, right? And then they could afford then to go out and invest in, say, a Silicon Valley startup that was a little bit more risk, maybe had a high potential of return if it was the next Google or Instagram, but it probably wasn't. So it was a higher risk investment. And most of those tech companies were like big green companies that were blowing smoke around everything and jumping on the bandwagon. And there were all these social justice woke banks doing what the government told them to do and investing in them. But the problem was when inflation took place, when inflation hit the ramp, and it hit the ramp for a couple of reasons. One was because the government shut down basically our economy and then tried to start it back up again once they'd gotten rid of Orange Man Bad and thought that, hey, it's just like an engine, we'll just start it up again. But it's not. There were all of these little kinks in the spider web that had been created by stopping and shutting down the system. We had underestimated the importance of small and mid-sized businesses in our economy. I didn't, but the government did. They thought, well, we can just shut it down and mom and pop will give them a loan and everything will be fine. They won't have to repay it and we'll keep them in business. That didn't happen. Millions of mom and pops went under. And all of these mom and pops and medium-sized businesses that went under provided things to big businesses that they desperately needed. And so we had the supply chain crisis that emerged. Well, that was a convenient thing because it did temporarily drive up inflation, but it was a convenient thing for the government to hide behind and say, oh, inflation is caused by this, so what we're going to do is going to raise interest rates aggressively, but also keep spending. And what this did is it changed the rules for those banks. And the banks had become accustomed to the lollipop that the government had given them to suck on, and that was cheap money. And as the banks were really trying to cling to that lollipop like a child having it taken away from them, they continued to engage in the practices the government had been telling them to do for years, but the government had changed the rules and thus the failure, because now that money had become more expensive and it was harder to lend out at a higher rate, and it was becoming an issue, and it wasn't enough to keep them afloat versus their risky investments. And then you saw the dominoes fall at SVB, and you're going to see more fall. And probably the one thing that's going to come out of this that in the short term is going to help people a little bit, but it's not good in the long term, is that those interest rates are going to stop rising and perhaps come down. I saw where mortgage rates actually dropped significantly, lowest in 30 days, because they saw this as a sign the Fed was going to go back into more quantitative easing, which is probably what they're going to do. Because ever since the Fed was created in the first place in 1913, I got to be careful not to get into the boring weeds here. And we're going to talk about a lot more than this today. I'm just giving you kind of an overview since the breaking news on both the big networks in front of me on my two new big screen TVs here at the Double Wide Trailer in the Mountain Vista parking lot are both talking about the potential failure of Credit Suisse. So I'm trying to give you an overview of what might happen. There's probably going to be more banks to fail, but the Fed is probably going to stop so aggressively raising interest rates because they know that this caused that. And in the short term, that might be helpful. But if the Fed doesn't stop, or if the government, I shouldn't blend the two, but because they are the same, but they're different entities of the same thing, kind of like the Holy Trinity, but only the opposite, like the negative side of it, the dark side, the evil side of it. But ever since we created the Federal Reserve in the first place, it has existed solely to prop up big banks. And while the president and his cronies are refusing to call what happened with SVB, because what the government did is they stepped in and they said, hey, we don't want a cascading collapse of the entire banking system in the United States. So what we're going to do is, even though all of the investors are insured up to $250,000, there's a bunch of investors in SVB that have a lot more than that in there. So what we're going to do is we're going to secure their loans with taxpayer intervention. Now, they're not propping up like in 2008 and giving a bunch of money to the stakeholders and shareholders and management of the banks. And that's why they're not calling it a bailout, but it's still a bailout because you are going to pay. In fact, I have a quick story here. Let's see. I think it's right. Nope, that's not it. It's a Fox News story. I'm trying to pull it up here. Oh, where did it go? I swear. Oh, you know what? I put it on this paper here. Okay. All right. So I want to quote a couple of economists on this. Where's that? Sorry. Here we go. Banking experts, Fox News, banking experts reject Biden's denial of Silicon Valley depositor bailout. Quote, this is certainly a bailout. According to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, officials are in the process of auctioning nearly $200 billion in Silicon Valley bank assets. Deposit reimbursements that does not come from the auction of the insurance fund will be shored up by special assessments, a tax placed on larger banks in the U.S. Fordham University School of Law professor Richard Squire said that when Biden administration officials claim there is no bailout, they mean it's simply not a bailout for the bank's management. The venture capital firms and the startup firms are being bailed out. There's no doubt about that. Now, by the way, this is interesting. The government's not bailing out the management of SVB Bank, but they don't need to be bailed out because they bailed themselves out right before the collapse. Interestingly, a bunch of them, including the CEO, unloaded a bunch of stock in the bank and made millions of dollars right before the bank collapsed. Isn't that great? Now, these are your leftist banks. This is your social justice bank. This is your woke bank. See, they're allowed to get away with the greed because they're in the right group. Remember, I told you socialism is still still an economic system that runs and is fueled by greed. It's just that the currency is different, right? If you do the woke things, it doesn't matter what you do. So they bailed themselves out. So that was pretty nice. University of Michigan's Amitash Purnanandam. Look, long name, interesting guy. A corporate economist who studies bank bailouts said that when a single bank's depositors are backstopped by insurance and bank fees, that cost will eventually fall on bank customers. So that's how you and I are going to bail them out. You're going to see higher fees on checking accounts or different bank services or slightly higher interest rates on loans like auto loans, home equity loans, personal lines of credit, and so on and so forth. So this is a bailout. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is 100% a bailout. So anyway, I just thought I would say that. Now we're watching Credit Suisse. We'll see what ends up happening. Hopefully this thing doesn't spread farther and wider, but it probably will. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. So, all right, let's talk a little guns. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. I have some audio. I'm just going to preview this for you. We'll do this probably either later this hour or next hour. But James Comer, a representative from Kentucky, who's the head of the House Oversight Committee, he had this to say on Sean Hannity and Fox News about Joe Biden. They've apparently, the shoes are dropping on the Hunter Biden influence peddling scheme. In fact, we're starting to see the money trail now.
The media says, well, this is a Hunter Biden investigation. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, and we're investigating the Biden family. And again, after this new batch of information, it expands. There are more family members involved in this than just the president's son. And what they've said in the media, oh, this was for business. We can't identify any business. It appears it went into their personal accounts.
So we'll have more audio from that in a little while. We'll get to that. Text the number 577-39. Text Leland to 577-39. Someone actually just did, Be Large. They just followed my instructions to a T. They simply texted Leland to 577-39. Nothing else, just Leland. So thank you for doing exactly what we said. I mean, text Leland and then your message. That's what I mean. Let's talk guns. Denver mayoral candidate Leslie Herod, headline from Complete Colorado, admits waiting period won't stop gun violence. So the president yesterday issued an executive order that was a bunch of garbledygook. It was basically the president putting on an executive order telling law enforcement to enforce the laws that are already on the book. There was some other stuff in there I don't trust, but the gist of it was, hey, you guys, do what you're supposed to do and enforce the laws in the books, which is exactly what you and I have been saying is what's been necessary from the get-go of this discussion about gun control. But I came across this story. So I want you to think about this. Where is it here? I got to find it. Good Lord. I got all these like things open. Oh, here we go. So Fox 13 Seattle. Came across this weekend. Imagine, have you ever had a stalker? Be Large, have you ever had a stalker? I have. It's not fun. I've had a few of them. It's par for the course of being in the media. They weren't all stalking me because they liked me. Some of them were stalking me because they hated me. But I've had people stalk my wife because they, whatever. In fact, I don't know. It's weird. So I've had to deal with this and it's several times in my career and it sucks and it is what it is. But imagine this were you. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, especially ladies. The ladies have often faced this. It's usually a problem of men stalking women. But this lady in Seattle, she's a podcaster. Her and her husband have a podcast. And just imagine this. Where you have a podcast and some dude in Texas decides that he's infatuated with you. And he starts sending her messages and like literally hundreds of messages a day. It's like, if you don't respond to me, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to set myself on fire. I'm coming. Coming to get you. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he shows up. Now, these folks, the husband and wife, they actually got a restraining order against him. But the dude was a trucker, and the police couldn't track him down. So the restraining order, and this is what's interesting, the Redmond Washington Police Department actually said, the chief of police said, it's just a piece of paper. It can't stop this stalker from doing what the stalker did. So the dude shows up, breaks into the house, and I think the mother-in-law was there. He beats the mother-in-law. She escapes, runs across the street to call 911. Meanwhile, he shoots and kills both the husband and wife, the people that he was stalking, and then goes out on the front lawn and shoots himself. They had a restraining order. And why am I bringing this story in Seattle up? And why am I asking you to imagine this is you? Let me flash to this story about Denver mayoral candidate talking about the waiting. She's also a state legislator, and they have this bill to create a waiting period to purchase a firearm. And it would make you wait 3 days after you pass a background check to be able to buy the gun. Imagine you're this couple. And this dude that's stalking you from Texas lets you know that he's on the way. And maybe you've never really owned a gun. Maybe you've never wanted a gun. Maybe you've never really thought about it. But all of a sudden, you're like, this guy just told me he's on his way. Well, I've got a restraining order, so that'll stop him. Now, he's told you that he's on the way. Texas to Seattle. What do you think, B-Large? Day and a half? 2 days? Depends on where he stops and sleeps at a Holiday Inn Express. Right? Get Rice and refreshed for his stalker show up. Right? Because I had a stalker that actually backed into a car in a parking lot trying to follow me. And the car that he backed into happened to be a police officer, a friend of mine's car. And that was the end of that stalking incident. But, I mean, you know, he probably didn't sleep in a Holiday Inn Express the night before. So you got to, maybe he wants to be fresh. So I'm thinking, depending on which part of Texas, he can probably stop at a Holiday Inn Express and make it to Seattle in a day and a half. So maybe you see the message from the stalker 3 or 4 hours after he sends it. And it says, I'm on my way, I'm coming. And you better be ready. And you think to yourself, I should be ready. Especially if you're a female, maybe I'll go buy a gun because it's the only thing I know to protect myself from this hulking large man that is trying to do whatever to me. And so you go down to the gun store and you buy the gun and they say, okay, everything's good. You pass background check. You're like, okay, cool, I'll take it. Nope. You got to wait 3 days. But dude is on the way. Yeah. But you got to wait 3 days. But dude will be here in like a day and a half. Yeah, you got to wait 3 days. So when dude gets to your house, maybe I would suggest you ask him to just wait. Maybe check into another Holiday Inn Express, wait a couple days until you get the item you plan to defend yourself with and spend some time training with it. Do you see how asinine this is? So back to the story. Complete Colorado. Denver mayoral candidate and current state legislator publicly said recently that a bill in the House that would require a 3-day waiting period probably will not stop gun violence. I think these bills are important to pass, said Representative Leslie Herod, Democrat, Denver, also running for mayor. I think these bills are important to pass, but I don't know that a waiting period would have changed the outcome of that young kid that went to East and that just recently died. Those guns were not purchased legally, likely, she said, of a 16-year-old who killed himself. So she's admitting it's not going to stop gun violence. And I just told you the story about the stalker. You see where 2 and 2 adds up to 4 here? Who does the 3-day waiting period protect? The criminal. It doesn't protect the person being stalked, the woman being stalked, the woman being threatened by her estranged and angry and violent ex-husband who's in a rage and isn't willing to wait until the ex-wife goes and finds a way to equalize the situation. So then what is the reason for passing the bill if it won't solve the problem they admit it won't solve? We'll discuss that, plus the Hunter Biden story, when we continue. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver Stock Station.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
And now, back to more Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Oh, I see the award-winning and astounding Susan Wicken in the newsroom, in the studio over there. Susan, I have a story for you to follow up on that I think would just be phenomenal. Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, has just entered the presidential race. Now, if we could somehow get a sit-down between you and him, like a profile, oh my word, that. I want you, at some point in the interview, I just want you to get him to say, I'm never going to recover from this financially. Oh, wait, no, it's I'm never going to financially recover from this. That was the only way I got through the COVID shutdown, man, was watching Tiger King episodes. Could they please make another one of those? Dude's hilarious. Can you run for president from jail? Okay, I guess you can. God bless America, right? iHeartRadio.com. Tiger King star Joe Exotic has announced his 2024 presidential run. And yes, he's still serving time in federal prison. I want you to know that he's not kidding. Quote, yes, I know I'm in federal prison, and you might think that's a joke, but it's not. It's my constitutional right to do this even from here. He's got a campaign website. Joe Exotic, whose real name is Joseph Alden Maldonado Passage, is currently serving a reduced sentence of 21 years in federal prison after he was found guilty in 2019 for a murder-for-hire plot, among other charges. In the Netflix star's campaign message, he claims he was placed in prison only because of the corruption in the Department of Justice and goes on to detail evidence and perjury in his defense. The only thing I did was put five very old crippled tigers to sleep in the most humane way possible, and it was approved by the USDA inspector, so it's time to get over it. Okay, but what is your platform? As far as why the 60-year-old wants to run for president in 2024, he said, he has a, quote, world platform to make these politicians listen to your and my concerns and give us some answers for once, because all they do is lie to all of us, take our hard-earned money, calling it taxes, and give it away to foreign countries without them giving us anything back.
Don't you think he really just wants to get out of jail?
I think he really just wants to get out of jail, because if he wins the presidency, dude, you got to give the guy points, right? Because let's say, I mean, okay, come on. Let's suspend reality. Let's go la la world, be large. Let's say he wins the presidency. Stranger things have happened.
That's right.
So let's say he wins the presidency. He gets to pardon himself. It's brilliant.
100%. That's what he's in
and
for.
And if you're in prison for 21 years and you got nothing else to do, why the hell not, right? I mean, you know you've got a one in quasi 7 quadrillion billion chance. But to quote, which one was it? Lloyd or from Dumb and Dumber?
Harry.
Was it Lloyd or Harry? It was Lloyd, wasn't it?
Mm.
You mean you're saying there's a chance? Mm. Which is that one in a million? It's like one in a million. Like, why not?
Oh, yeah. Anyway. He's ready.
Hey, and
Carol Baskin is not.
Tell me what's wrong with this platform, Be Large. I'm running on a world platform to make these politicians listen to your and my concerns and give us some answers for once, because all they do is lie to all of us, take our hard-earned money, calling it taxes, and give it to foreign countries without giving us anything back. What the hell is wrong with that platform? Anything? Anything? Bueller?
Joe Exotic.
That's the greatest. I mean, we had a president who made a cameo on Home Alone. Why can't we have Joe Exotic? Here's Trump in Florida.
For those of you that didn't notice, Florida was doing great long before Ron DeSantis got there. People are fleeing from New York to Florida and other places because of high taxes and out of control crime. It's really bad.
It's really
not
bad.
Because of the governor. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing that.
Oh my God.
But it's not because of the governor. Florida was doing fantastically. You had a governor named Rick Scott who did a very good job. Even Charlie Crist, a Democrat, did a good job, and he had very good numbers. Sunshine and ocean are very alluring. It's not too hard to work with those factors. So just remember, Florida was doing really well long before Ron DeSantis got there.
You guys realize that this dude's just playing a part, right? Like, you realize it. You realize that he's just playing a part. There's nothing there. Anyway. Oh, no, he's smart. He's brilliant. I think he's absolutely brilliant, but you're getting played. All right, let's get into a couple texts on the three-day waiting period because I have more to say on that. So I left you with this question. Text the show directly, 577-39, 630-KHOW, Denver Stock Station. Text the show, Leland to 577-39. So we have a mayoral candidate who's a current state legislator who has admitted on a podcast that they know that the three-day waiting period will actually not solve the problem that they supposedly are trying to solve, that is to end gun violence. Leslie Herod, Democrat running for mayor, also state legislator who will vote on this bill. I think these bills are important to pass, but I don't know that a waiting period would have changed the outcome of the young kid that went to East and that just recently died. So I admit that my idea for this bill, it's not going to solve the problem I claim that it's being passed to solve, but I still want to pass it. So the question I left you with before the bottom of the hour was, what is then the purpose of this? And I will tell you what the purpose is. The purpose is to harass, to essentially legalize harassing law-abiding citizens. That is what it's for. It is to make it difficult. It is to throw barriers up. It's the same mentality. So, and this is what will happen. When Kansas gun stores will make, if they pass this bill, if I had a little extra cash for an extra investment right now, I might invest in buying a gun store. Like I might call it State Line Guns and just buy it right at the Wyoming border or the New Mexico border or the Kansas border or the Utah border. Just right on the border. Nothing else. Just State Line Guns. I'll do four locations. I'll do one in each of those states. Right? Because that's what's going to happen is people just go to a state close by that doesn't require the waiting period. They'll buy the gun legally. I mean, then all they got to do is transfer it, right? I think if you buy out of state, I think all you got to do is transfer it to a, I wonder if this bill includes like if you're transferring it to yourself. I mean, this doesn't work. So this is the very same logic behind when Philadelphia, I think it was, passed the sugary drink tax, right? People just went outside of Philadelphia to the suburbs and they bought sugary drinks. And it didn't stymie obesity at all. But it was politicians who think, hey, you know what? I'm going to throw up barriers in front of these people because I don't like what they're doing. This is the same thing with the red flag law that they're trying to expand. We're now a teacher could turn you in because they don't like your attitude if they know you have guns in under the red flag law. A doctor, a therapist, people who have no business making these kinds of judgments about you could now make these kinds of judgments about you and have it cause you legal harassment. These bills are not to stop crime. They are not to punish criminals. They are not to ease gun violence. They are 100% literally to make it as undesirable as possible in the state of Colorado to own a gun. It is a bunch of nannies who think they know better than you, who have made our state less safe for you, because, and they have done so by defunding and demoralizing our police, by taking away the backstop that provides them with some level of immunity from frivolous lawsuits. They have, by not punishing criminals or by lowering the penalties for violent crime or letting violent criminals go, they have made this state unsafe. They have made this state unsafe for you, and now they are going to make it as undesirable as possible for you to have access to something that can save your life. It's a tool, a defensive tool. All right, so 406 writes in, Leland, not that it should be this way, but at a minimum there should be an exception to the three-day waiting period if you have a restraining order, you would think. And I don't know if that's built in the bill. I haven't read every single word, but I haven't seen anything in the media reports about it that would indicate that there is any kind of carve-out for a restraining order. But also, that's just one kind, and I know the person that sent this is not advocating that this bill pass with that carve out. They're just saying at a minimum, if they cared about people, they would have a carve out in there.
But in reality, the stalker scenario that I described is really only one form of attack. We don't, that's the thing.
I highly encourage you to go out today and buy a firearm if you don't already have one. And I highly encourage you to train, to go out and find somebody to train with. And I highly encourage you to understand how to safely operate that firearm, but also how to fight with that firearm if you are attacked. I highly encourage that because you don't know when the attack is coming. If you had a vote on when you would be attacked, be large, when would you be attacked? If you had a vote, if you had a say, when would you be attacked?
Right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say never because that's usually what people would say. But I guess you're ready. I mean, you did just take your sweater off. You're in there flexing your muscles. You just did your workout.
Lunch is a little spicy.
Lunch is a little spicy. So, okay, I get it. Now, you're ready. You're ready. You know it's coming. But no, in reality, most of us will say never. If I have a choice, I don't want it to happen at all. But you don't have a choice. My wife and I were victims of a home invasion while we were there. We didn't have a choice. That criminal. Now, there were things we could have done to make it harder for that person to do what they did, and maybe even impossible for them to do what they did. But at the time, we didn't know what we didn't know. But we didn't choose that person's actions for them. They chose them. And their choice that night was to try to create victims. Fortunately, my dog saved the day. But the point is, so you should get dogs. But the point is, you don't get to choose. So if you decide today is the day that you want to go and purchase a firearm and maybe you've been doing some training or whatever, the point is you can choose at any point to practice your Second Amendment right. That's your God-given right. And you can say, you know what, I'm going to go take some classes. I'm going to maybe rent a couple different guns, see what I like, and then I'm going to shoot a couple. And then once I shoot a couple, I'll decide what really feels good in my hand. I'm going to buy that, and I'm going to keep it in my nightstand, or I'm going to get a concealed carry permit, which I highly encourage. I'm going to get all that. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to carry that gun. And you can make that decision today because the attack could be tomorrow. State legislature doesn't know when that attack is coming. And neither do you if that attack is coming. So, yeah. So not that it should be this way, says the texter, but a minimum there should be an exception for a three. Yes, but it's a bigger issue than that. Leland, Cappy, your thoughts on comparing 3-day wait for a gun compared to closing a bank so that you can't cash out while they still have cash? I'm pretty much laissez-faire free markets. I don't want any government intervention. It sucks. Capitalism is a boom and bust. It's a self-policing system. One of the things that, not to change this up, you know what? I should get into this. This is actually a very interesting text. And I actually want to make a couple points about that. So Cappy, we'll get to that in just a second. So much more to come today. I am Leland Conway, 630. Oh, I have an update on the plastic bag tax too. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. All right. So I know I was answering Cappy's question about the 3-day wait limit for guns compared to closing a bank so you can't get your cash out while they have cash. And I want to get into, I've got other comments on the 3-day waiting period. We've got an update on the plastic bag tax, and we've got audio that's going to blow your mind. The Hunter Biden investigation, the shoes are dropping, and it is not good for Joe. I'm telling you, I've told you this from the beginning. This is not, he is not running for president in 2024. I don't know who is, but it's not going to be him. And this scandal is going to be how they cause him to exit stage left. I just wonder how big it'll get in terms of, like, will he have to resign or will they let him go quietly into the night? We'll see. Anyway, Cappy says, your thoughts on comparing a 3-day waiting period for a gun compared to closing a bank. See, I was saying this. I am for like almost laissez-faire. I want regulations that keep you from lying, cheating, stealing. That's basically it. Everything else is, hey, just get out there and get it. The harder you work, the more you make. It's fine with me. And the cool thing about capitalism that's unfettered like that is that it regulates itself, right? When banks get too overleveraged, they take too many risks, or they don't assess their risk properly, they fail. That sucks. People lose money. But the system polices itself because nobody wants to own a bank that's going to fail. So it keeps other banks from engaging in risky behavior. When the government bails them out, it doesn't keep other banks from engaging in risky behavior. That's why they're now looking at Credit Suisse.
Why would any bank change their behavior if the government's going to stopgap them? Even if they're not bailing out the management, doesn't matter. The management owns the bank. The bank stays in business. Not in SVB's case, but in other cases. And frankly, it does stay in business because they just sell off the assets to other banks. And the other banks are like, well, it doesn't matter. These people all change jobs, titles, and locations all the time. It doesn't matter. So when you have unfettered capitalism instead of crony capitalism, which is what we have now, you have a self-regulating system because things get too hot, they regulate themselves. You don't need that much government intervention. I don't know if I answered Cappy's question, but whatever. We're going to talk about one of the reasons on a 3-day wait period having to do with police response time and much more, plus a plastic bag tax update. It gets even stupider, if that's a word. I don't care if you don't think it's a word. I'm making it a word. Look it up. State law. Talk show hosts can make up words. Plus the Hunter Biden investigation, all coming up next hour. 630 KHOW, Denver Stock Station.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.